Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Just stay right before the throne. Whether physically you bow down or just in your heart, this moment you're bowing everything. As you surrender this morning, everything of who you are, as you lay yourself, your life, everything before his throne at his feet this morning, he is the Holy One. And as you just lay your life before him at his feet right now, he holds out his scepter of authority over your life. And as he holds out his scepter of authority, he crowns you with love and compassion. He crowns you with love and compassion. And he says, you are mine. You are mine. You are mine. He holds out his scepter of authority. And as you bow before him, as you present yourself before him, as he holds out his scepter of authority, the anointing of the Holy Spirit runs, flows on your life. It's like God saying, that's what happens when you come before my throne. Not just to visit, but when you come before my throne because you set that in your heart as a way, as the way you want to live. As you set yourself before me and lay your life before me, and that scepter of my authority is constantly held out over your life. The flow of the anointed of my spirit then constantly flows in and through your life as you constantly surrender, submit. And in your heart and in your life, you're constantly staying, bowing before me. In your heart and your mind, your attitudes, your motives, all of who you are. Saying, Father, I want to live surrendered. I want to live like I'm at your feet all the time. Surrendered, submitted, under your authority. That the anointing of your spirit then runs. It just runs and flows on me, in me, through me. Because I want to stay under the one who is the anointing. I want to stay under the one who is the greatest authority. I want to stay under the one who is the Lord of heaven and earth, who is the mighty one, who is the majestic one, who is all wisdom and understanding. I want to live in that place, submitted to you, surrendered at your feet, bowing down before your throne. I want that to be the heart position. I want that to be the set place that my heart is. Surrendered, submitted, bowing down before you under your lordship, your authority, knowing that the anointing of your spirit runs and flows like that oil that runs through Aaron's beard down onto the body. The oil of the anointing runs, flows, brings wisdom, brings understanding, brings revelation. Releases life and power. Fullness, wholeness, healing, health, abundance in every way. Thank you, Father. As a church, we want to live there. We don't want to just live from there and go out. We want to live there all of the time. Because we live in Him. And he in us. And as we live our lives, we want to live in him in our lives. To live in him means to stay surrendered, submitted, to stay humble. It means to submit our lives, our character. It means to submit every thought and attitude of the heart. God, I want to humble myself before you. I want to live at your feet. then the nature of His holiness, the nature of His holiness then permeates every fiber of your being, because you choose to bow the knee, because you choose to surrender. You say, Father, I want to serve You, live at Your feet, and I want to humble myself before You. And then the nature of His holiness then begins to permeate through your life, because those that are humble, then He can work in and work through. And those that are humble are saying, God, I don't want to live in my own life and ability, strength, character, nature. I want to live in Your nature, character, and who You are. And He is holy. He is holy. We're saying this morning, Father, I want to abide in You. I want to remain in You. I want to abide and remain in this place with You, to live in Your holiness, to live in who You are all of the time. Not just to visit, but to abide and remain. To be a person of Your presence, to be a person of Your throne room. Somebody that the anointing of Your Spirit is constantly running down into, onto, and through. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Just receive from Him as you're right before His throne. Some of you might need healing this morning. Aches and pains and things going on in your body. As you're before His throne, you've set yourself to seek Him this morning, to know Him. And as you've given yourself to Him, He gives Himself to you. And part of that Him giving Himself to us is us receiving from Him wholeness, fullness, peace, total well-being, healing physically, mentally, emotionally, that place of rest in God. Living in the rest of God. Not just a moment in the rest and then we go from there, but living in the rest of God, the rest of faith. Knowing that it's not me who's trying to live any longer, it's Him in me. That's the place of rest. It's a place of ease. It's a place of peace. It's a place of total well-being. It's a place where you don't have to try and come up with stuff, try and make a way, try and do this, try and do that. It's a place where you say, Father, I thank You that in You I have Your peace. I have Your wisdom. I have everything I need. Just receive from Him. Some of you, challenges in practical situations, you've been worried, concerned, lay them at His feet. Receive peace in His rest right now. Healing for some others. Receive right now in the place of rest. The place of rest is us resting from our activity, trying, and then it's all about His activity at work in us. There's a lot going on in the place of rest, but it's not us, it's Him in us. His life, His power, His wisdom, His understanding, His faith, His love, His righteousness, His holiness. Everything of who He is at work in the place of rest. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Father, we praise You. We exalt Your name. We exalt Your mighty name. We exalt Your name, Jesus. We exalt Your awesome name, Your great name, Your wonderful name. Praise Your name, Jesus. Let's just stand together. Let's stand together and just lift our hands to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. Just lift your hands fully. Extend them as high as you can get them. As if you're reaching out to take a hold of Him. As if you're taking hold saying, God, I want to stretch out to take a hold of You this morning in this place before Your throne. To take hold, to grab hold, to live in this place, to live in Your fullness, to live in Your abundance, to live in Your goodness. Father, every fiber of my being stretches out. Stretches out towards You so that You can come upon me in a fresh way. So Your weightiness rests upon my life in a fresh way. God, I don't want to live in my own effort and strength, but in Your life and in Your power, in who You are, I stretch out and take hold of You afresh this morning. And I thank You as I take hold of You, You take hold of me, every fiber of my being. Holy Spirit, would You fill me afresh this morning? Would You take a hold of what is Yours already? And breathe afresh and fill afresh and take a hold of afresh. Every fiber of my being, fill me, Holy Spirit. I want to be saturated, full, overflowing with You. I don't want anything left undone, anything left without you filling me in every way. Father, come by your Spirit and fill me. Take a hold of what is yours. Break open this jar of clay so the treasure within could be released, Father, in a fresh way in our lives as a church. I thank you for the breaking open of that alabaster jar in our lives. That earthen vessel breaking open, and the treasure within, your life, your power, everything of who you are, cutting loose, being released in our lives. I thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, praise your name, praise your name, praise your name. Jesus, Jesus, just cry out to him, lift your voice, worship him. Don't be silent at this moment, just raise your voice now. Raise your voice. Lift your voice before him. Jesus, wonderful Lord. Take a hold of what is yours, Father. Take a hold of what is yours, Jesus. Take a hold of what is yours, Father. Praise your name. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be apathetic this morning, but just stir up your spirit. Just pray in the spirit a little bit. Just keep your spirit alive this morning. Just pray a bit in the spirit. Just exalt him. Praise him in English as well, but just exalt him. Don't go silent this morning. Don't stand passive this morning, but be active in your faith this morning. Lay hold of him. He wants to lay hold of you. He wants to get a hold of you afresh this morning. It's time that as a church, we are on the move in a greater way than we've seen before. It's time that we gird up everything that God is in us and we begin to shift and move in a greater dynamic of his life and power. It's not time to settle back and just chill out. It's time to rise to the things of God. It's time to rise to the trumpet call of God saying, I'm stirring up your spirit. I'm stirring up the spirit of the people because there's things I want to do, things I want to accomplish through my bride, through my body, through my people. And I need a people who are willing to go with me, move with me, follow me, flow with me. And I'm looking for those who are ready, looking for those who are available. And I'm looking at you today as a church saying, are you ready? Are you available? Are you willing for what it means to lay your lives down for my kingdom purposes? Are you willing and ready and available for whatever I want to do in and through your lives in this time? My purposes are at stake here. My purposes are at stake here. And I've chosen to work through my body, through my bride, through the church, my people. And I'm stirring up in many places, in many towns and cities, stirring up my people for this season, this hour. I'm stirring you out of just worldly thinking and lifestyles. I'm stirring you out of just the status quo that so easily settles upon you. I'm stirring you out of what you just take for granted in terms of spiritual things and the way things may be. You just think that's the way they are. I'm stirring you up beyond that. Because it's time to see a greater release of who I am amongst you and around you and through you. It's time to see a greater release in every aspect of your life and your life together. I'm calling you to lay hold of me afresh, to take hold of me afresh. Not just to sit back and wait, but to lay a hold of me. Being in my rest is not a passive place where you just check out. Being in my rest is a place of God activity, God movement, God life, God power. It's a place where things happen. The place of rest is, it's not done in your strength, it's just done in mine. It's not done in your ability, it's done in mine. It's not done in your power, it's done in mine. So it's a place of great activity, but it's my activity in you. It's a place of great fruitfulness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we praise you. We exalt your mighty name. We exalt your great name, your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank him that he is alive in you this morning. Just thank him. He is alive in you. He is stirred. God is stirred himself. That's why he's stirring us. during this season, God has stirred himself about what he doesn't have. God is stirred about what he does not have. And there are many, 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 many people he does not have at this time. And he's saying, I'm stirring my church, I'm stirring my body, I'm stirring my bride, I'm stirring my hands and my feet and my heart, I'm stirring the ones that carry my name and my life and my power. I'm stirring my body to come into line with their head so that the head and the body can move together in this season to reach every person, to harvest every situation, to impact towns, cities and regions and nations. Because I'm raising up my body to work with my head so that everything that I purpose shall be accomplished. But it takes someone and some people to say, yes, amen. God, I agree. I'm going to take hold of you afresh as you take hold of me. I want to shift from where I am to where you want me to be. Wipe the dust off my life. Wipe the custard skin off my life, whatever that gets in the way. The stuff that's settled, the stuff that is just there, just pull it off right now. Everything that has settled, just stir that up this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God is stirred in this season. He is stirred. And he's stirring you and I. And he needs us to cooperate with him. God will never do anything against your will. When God says, I'm going to stir up the spirit of the people, that means as you respond to that, you get stirred up. Some of that stirring is a greater passion, hunger, longing to know him. But some of that stirring is you being agitated in your life, in your spirit, in where you're at. You're provoked by him and you realize, God, I don't want to stay where I am. God, I'm fed up with what I'm seeing around me, the level of stuff and fruitfulness. God, there's got to be more than this. See, that's what the Holy Spirit's doing in this day. If you're not there yet, then you need to get a hold of God and say, God, I want you to do, as I respond to you, would you do in me what you're doing with other people? As I choose to take hold of you afresh this morning, where there's disappointment, I throw it off. Where there's disillusionment, I throw it off. Where there's been, I haven't seen what I thought I was going to see, I throw that off right now and draw the line. Today is a new day. And I step over that line and say, God, I'm stepping into what you're saying. I'm stepping into what you're doing, and I want you to stir my spirit up in the same way you're stirring others up. Would you agitate? Would you provoke? Would you do only what you can do in me as I respond to you from this moment on? God's after this church. He's after us. He is after us, guys. He is after us. We've heard a lot the last few weeks about his heart for people and different contexts in which his heart is expressed in different ways to show mercy, love, compassion, grace, salvation, forgiveness, all of those things. And that's part of the stirring that he's been doing. You know, underneath that, God is, to undergird that, God is stirring up our spirits. One of the things that I believe God's saying to us as a church, this is kind of the preach, but we're having it now, is that we need to put pressure on in the Spirit. We need to put pressure on in the Spirit for the things that God is speaking about and the things that he wants to do. See, God speaks, and then what we do is we respond to what he says. When God speaks, it doesn't automatically happen. See, what he does, he speaks, and then he says, I'm going to watch over my word to make sure it's performed, it happens. But that doesn't just mean he speaks and therefore we just say, well, go on then, God, do it. He says, no, I speak and I'm watching over it to make sure it happens through my body. And what he does, he then keeps speaking to the body until we get it, until we understand. He keeps saying stuff to the church, whether a church or the church. He'll keep saying it, and because he's watching over it, saying, if I have to speak this 500 times, 1,000 times, two, if I have to keep saying it until my church gets it and they're running with it and they're living in it They're operating in it. They're moving in it. I'm going to keep speaking it because I'm watching over that word to make sure it's going to be accomplished. So when God says, I'm going to stir up the spirit of the people, He's like, right, I'm going to set to work. Those that are open and respond, it's going to happen. Then others are going to catch it more and whatever then that looks like. But God is wanting us to put pressure on some things in the spirit. And some of that is for the harvest. Putting pressure on in the spirit for souls. And victory in the spirit. Victory over the enemy. Victory for souls. Victory for breakthrough. Victory to see fruitfulness. You see, it's one in the spirit, isn't it? It's one in prayer. It's a spiritual thing that we're involved in. It's not just a natural thing we're involved in with a bit of prayer to bless what we're doing. It's a spiritual thing we're in. The church is a spiritual living thing. And God works by His Spirit in our lives. In Ephesians chapter 6, you can sit down if you want. In Ephesians, I might not look at you, but in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about putting on the armor of God. And we often appropriate that in our own lives personally. That, you know, we hold the shield of faith up in our own lives. We hold the sword of the Spirit. But I believe God's saying to us as a church that He's called us to be a fighting force. Said, you're a fighting force. That's what you are. You're a fighting force. Does anybody believe that? You're a fighting force. And I believe God's saying He wants us to see Ephesians 6 not just as an individual thing, but I believe He wants us to see it as together we hold up the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Together we hold up the sword of the Spirit. It's not just about each one of us individually doing that. We all have a responsibility to do that for our own lives. But then when we come to the church, the body, we all have a responsibility then as part of the body to say, I'm here to be part of holding the shield of faith up so that whatever the enemy seeks to do to come against the church, I'm part of the church holding up the shield of faith, quenching every fiery dart, every attempt of the enemy to do whatever in anybody's life or the whole, against the whole thing. But I'm holding up the shield of faith so the individuals don't get taken out or the church doesn't get taken out. Then we hold the sword of the Spirit together. Why? Because you get saved into the body. You're not just an individual anymore. You're part of the body of Christ. And therefore, we're part of the body. We hold up the sword of the Spirit. And we go forward with the Word of God together. So we pray the Word. We decree the Word. We speak the Word. We declare the Word. That's what comes from our mouths. Yes, we do it individually, but we're doing it as a body together, holding the sword up, saying, this is the word of the Lord. These are the decrees that He's given us. These are the things that He's spoken He wants to do. So we're speaking those things. It's the sword of the Spirit. We're coming with the breastplate of righteousness. It's not just our own little thing and I've got my armor on and I'm doing all right. God said, no, I've given you my righteousness as a church. I've called you to live as a righteous people. It's us together living as a righteous people. Helmet of salvation. It's the helmet of salvation. It's having the mind of Christ together. It's not everybody has their own thoughts and their own ideas and their own stuff. It's all of us as a body submitting to His mind, His word, His purposes, what He wants. And together we wear the helmet of salvation so that we have the mind of Christ together, so that we're one in heart and spirit, so that we move together, holding the shield of faith up together, holding the sword of the Spirit together, living as a righteous people together with the belt of truth buckled around our life as a church, as a people. It's not just you and me wearing the belt on our own lives. We have to do that because we're responsible for our own life with God. But we together wear the belt of truth. Why? Because we are a people of the truth and we must live in the truth as a people. So because the truth holds the whole thing together. Without the belt of truth around our life as a church, everything's going to fall down. And so we wear the belt of truth together. Why? Because we want to walk in the truth. We want to demonstrate the truth. We want to live the truth. And if we're living the truth, we're going to live in His righteousness. If we're living the truth, we're going to be holding up the shield of faith together. If we're living in the truth, we're going to be holding the sword of the Spirit together. If we're living the truth, we're going to be wearing the helmet of salvation, having the mind of Christ and all that means. Then also the shoes of the gospel. Why? Because we want to run with the things of God. When you step into the shoes of the gospel, there's an empowering. There's something that comes on your life to run with the things of God. And as a church, we want to wear the shoes of the gospel so that together we run with what God wants to run with. We're running together in the things of God. But why is all this important? Because the first few verses before that law speaks about We're not in a fight against flesh and blood. We're in a spiritual battle against principalities and powers and all of those kind of things, and against the devil's schemes. The Bible says there that the enemy has schemes. He has ways in which he's devising to take you out, to take me out, to try and take us out, to take the church on a bigger scale out. He's constantly scheming to try and undermine. So why is it important that we live in this way so that we overcome him constantly? We know he's defeated. We know we have the victory. But yet he constantly tries to come and attack. And if we live in this way, we will see the victory. We'll overcome the enemy. We will push through and see things happen. But there's a trumpet call from God. Because when God speaks in this setting like today, and on a Sunday at church, yes, he's speaking to us individually. Of course he is, into our lives. But whenever God speaks, he always is speaking to the church or to a body of people. Why? Because God doesn't just think a load of individuals in the room. What he sees is his people, plural. He sees these are members of my body. These are parts of my body. So I'm going to speak to the parts of my body. I'm going to speak to the members of my body so that they're fused together, so they have the mind of Christ together, so they stay in that spirit of unity, so they move and work together in agreement with me and in agreement with one another. He speaks to us as a body because he wants us to move as a body in a greater effectiveness and fruitfulness. Is anybody in the room this morning? As we come into the new year, we're going to be starting with 40 days of prayer and fasting. And what God said to me was, I want you to give me the first of the year. The first of the year. He wants us to give him the first of the year. Now that, my understanding for that from the Bible, when you give God the first, it's the 10th. Whether it's the first of your time, the first of your money, the first of your income, whatever, the first of whatever it is in our lives. So we're going to have 40 days of prayer and fasting, which is about a tenth of the year, the first tenth. And we understand in the Bible that when you give God the first in your life, it unlocks all sorts of other things in the rest of your life. When you say, God, this is the first because you're the first. If we can't give God the first, is he a God worth giving the first? Of course he is. So we want to give him the first. So we're going to tithe the first 40 days of the year. It's going to unlock things in the rest of the year, but it's all linked with what he's doing now, stirring up the spirit of the people. When you fast, what are you doing? You're fasting from. I mean, the fast, technically the word fast means to not eat. It actually means to cover over your mouth. That's what it actually means, to fast. To cover over your mouth so that you can't actually take in food. It means to give yourself to something else rather than what you normally do in terms of eating. Now, we're not going to do a full-on 40-day fast, no food for 40 days. But we want to fast one meal a day. On a Wednesday, we want to fast, use Wednesday as a fast day, and then meet in the evenings on Wednesday nights to encounter God and meet with God as a church. First few days of January, from the 5th to the 8th, Monday to Thursday, that first week, the first 4 days, we're going to have four nights of encounter nights together, all congregations meeting up, because we want God to be our first love. And there's all sorts of things I believe God wants to do. There's early morning prayer meetings and in all three congregations and various other things going on. We want to give some time where we can spend time with friends, family, having food, but having with communion and in our homes and do that kind of thing as well. So God's building the body in that way too. Just believe God is saying though, the whole thing needs to be about Him being our first love. Him continue to stir up the spirit of who we are, His spirit in us. And during that time, we are fasting from other things so that we can give ourselves more fully to Him and what He wants to do in our lives. We're not going to do a total media fast, but we want to encourage everybody, and you need to just work through what this means in your family if you've got kids. Whatever form of media takes up the most time in your life, if you watch telly more than any other form of media, or if you're on Facebook more than any other media, or whatever, then fast that for 40 days. There's lots of stories in the Bible about 40 days, or the number 40. And the number 40 in the Bible actually means test. And when Jesus went into the wilderness, it says that He went to be tempted, but actually when you look at the word tempted, it actually means to be tested. So the word 40 is to do with test. And you see that through, I was looking at a load of this stuff yesterday and just reading up about some things, and it's not that God wants to put us to the test, but during that 40 days, it's a time where it's going to be a time, if I can put it in the right way, where God wants to prove Himself and some things in our lives as people and as a church. And the test of those 40 days, if you like, is to give the first of the year to the Lord. Fast from some other things that we give ourselves to, a bit of food and some media. Use some of that time to pray and in the Word, whether on your own or with your family or your household. Also, some of it in relationship with others and everything. But it's like a test of our hearts, because the first in the Bible is always connected with a heart, your heart, and your heart response. It's not just the first that is His anyway and we just do it. The first is always to do with your heart and where your heart is, where our hearts are. Is God first, whether that's time or money or whatever it is? I believe God wants to, as He always will do, when we set time aside, we give God space, He's going to fill it. He's going to come and do something. You can never give God space and He won't come and do something new and fresh in your life. But often we ask God to come and fill the space that we normally give Him, and He's like, yeah, that's okay, but I want to move you on. I want to reveal more of who I am. I want to do some things in you and through you. There's stuff I want to do amongst you, so I want you to give me some time. And so we're going to give the first of the year to Him. Part of that, we're going to be putting some pressure on spiritually for things. There's some pressure that He wants to put on spiritually, not pressure on us, but pressure in the spirit to break through for some things, to break through for the new year, for the rest of the year, and what's going to happen through 2015. I just want to read you something. Going to read you a word that somebody sent through a couple of weeks ago. Somebody who we know is Kingdom Faith, who has a kind of prophetic edge on his life and everything. He's been praying into 2015, and he got this, not just for us, he got this, you know, from the Lord for the church. And he just said, look, I wanted to send you the copy down and see what you think and everything, and just give us a bit of feedback. And it's amazing how relevant it is for us. I want to read it. Take a few minutes, but I just want to read this to you. And I'm sure some of it, a lot of it, will just resonate with you this morning. 2015 will be a year of keys for many. I saw the Lord holding out a big bunch of keys. And as I watched, these keys were taken and they were thrust into the hearts of towns and cities and nations. And these places were unlocked. The Lord said, I'm releasing keys to open things that up to this time have been shut. In 2015, many of the hard places are going to become easy places. There has been a great deal of sowing, but very little reaping in the last season. But a shift of season is upon us. Anybody believe that? It began in September and will continue to grow in intensity as we shift into 2015. That's amazing confirmation, because when did God speak to us about stirring up the spirit of the people? It was in September. What does the word stir mean? It means to shift from where you are to a new place. It means to be stirred up. It means to be agitated. And that started in September. So God's been doing something in us. And this kind of is encouraging, getting this. It started in September and continue to grow in intensity as we shift into 2015, into something new. There is significant mindset shift required as we move forward. The way a person or people function in a drought or siege season is very different to how they function in a harvest season. However, it is possible to hold on to the old mindset and behavior and pull it into the new season. The mindset of the drought and siege season is very much focused on survival, defense, and maintenance. It is generally a defensive posture where the ground is held in the midst of the difficulty, and it has been personified by independence, isolation, and loneliness for many. But there have been pockets of release, but this has not been the case for the majority. As we shift, however, towns and cities that have been locked will be opened. Churches that have been struggling will begin to thrive. Ministries that have had limited resources shall come into an increase as they shift from a defensive posture into an apostolic posture. It is time to ramp up on all fronts, in prayer, in mission, in vision, in expectation. The long night of the empty net is over and the new dawn of bulging nets is upon us. The shift, however, requires action on our part, or response on our part. Many must push past the sick heart that hope deferred produces into fresh courage and faith to act and be willing to take a risk again. So the word of the Lord in this season is, get out of the winepress, mighty warriors. Push past the fear and step up in the leadership role God has called you to take in this coming battle. The land has been ravaged and you may feel weak and defeated, but as you fix your eyes upon me, you will rise up into the fighting man I've called you to be. Go and possess and overthrow. Go and turn over the demonic agendas against you. No longer will you say, where are the great works our fathers told us of? For in this season I shall stretch out my hand and move in such power that the camp of the enemy will be thrown into utter confusion. As you rise, many others shall rise. The torches and swords of many shall come to manifestation. And this is not the time of the lone warrior arising, it's the time of the army. The time of the troops standing to attention. The hallmark of this season will be the spirit of unity. Those who unite across streams and tribes will see unprecedented blessing and growth. Those who seek to continue in isolation will begin to see decrease and loss. My call is for you to unite and arise. For this coming harvest is far too great for any one tribe to manage. Your nets will burst and your season of harvest will be lost if you do not unite in singleness of heart and purpose. I call you to shift from local thinking to city, national, even global thinking. It's time for this city to awaken, or this town to arise into her national global role in this end time harvest. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just close your eyes a moment. God has called us as an apostolic people. What does that mean? One of the things it means is to be a breakthrough people. That we do not settle for the status quo. That we don't settle for that will do, that's good enough. No, there's much, much more that God has called us to move in and to see happen and see released through who we are as Kingdom Faith, both locally here in Horsham, in the region reaching the 25-mile radius, who we are and what we represent to do with the nation and what God wants to do to serve and resource and champion the church all over this nation, overseas and beyond into other nations. God has called us to be local, national, and international. That's the heartbeat of who we are. That's the spirit of who we are. That's the apostolic nature and grace upon us is who we are. We must have local expression with national vision, but we've got to work on the local, on the region, on the nation, and beyond, all in one go, because that's the call, that's the mandate, that's the anointing, that's the grace upon our life as a people. And we must rise up to what that means. We must rise to what that involves. We must rise to be the people God has called us to be. So that means here, where we are, right at the hub of Kingdom Faith, right at the apostolic center of Kingdom Faith, then we must be who God has called us to be. We must be those people of the Spirit that contend for His purposes. We must be the people of prayer that God has called us to be. We must rise in the Spirit to be those breakthrough people that God has called us to be. We're on mission. We got a mandate from God. And we must rise to that. It means reaching our neighbor. It means reaching those around us. It means having a household on every street born again and added to the church. It means going into the 25-mile radius and planting and developing congregations and all of that kind of stuff. It means going out into the nation, resourcing the church, helping to train, equip, and mobilize others and what that looks like. It means apostolic release into the church in this nation and in other nations. It's not something we've made up. It's been the call on Kingdom Faith for 35, 40 years. It's birthed out of the apostolic call on Pastor Colin and what came on an individual that then impacted a church many years ago and then was born into an international ministry that then became an apostolic church that then everything else then moves and grows from and goes out from. He's raising up an apostolic people now with that apostolic anointing and grace on their life to break through, to train, equip, to mobilize, to be effective in the harvest. And God has said, the more you go out to the harvest, that's where the fruit is, that's where the provision is, that's where everything is out there in the harvest. And as you go, whether local, regional, national, or international, you're going to see a greater release of what I've said and what I'm speaking about, what I want to do than you ever have before. How many of you know that God never does less going forward than He's done before? He's always going to do. Why? Because His kingdom is advancing. His kingdom is increasing. His kingdom is going forward. Therefore, the future must be greater than the past. He says that His glory in the present is going to outdo the glory of the past. Why? Because God leads us from glory to glory, from one dynamic of who He is into the next of what He does in us and through us. We need to rise up as the people in faith, that dynamic of faith. We hear the stories of the men of old, the men of faith. And Paul in Romans says, that same spirit by which they had and they spoke, we have and speak with that same spirit of faith, because that's the dynamic of faith that we have in our lives. It's breakthrough. It's rising up. It's not settling for the status quo. He's saying what we're seeing is okay, but it's nothing compared to what God wants us to see take place. There's a lot that God wants us to do in the secret place where nobody sees, and you can't see it, but you see the fruitfulness outside of the secret place. God calls us as a church to be a praying people, not a church that just prays some prayers. As God agitates us and stirs up our spirit over these next weeks coming into the new year and in the 40 days, God wants to stir every one of us. I tell you, the Bible says that two on earth, if they agree, then God's going to do it. So you can say, well, we only have to have two agreeing and God will do it. Great. But what's it like if 50 agree, 100 agree, 200, 300, 400, 500? What's it like if 500 people are agreeing in the things of God? What's going to happen then? God wants to give us an eternal perspective on our lives, that we don't live from the temporal with eternal understanding here and there, but actually we live from an eternal place. And that will change the way you give yourself to God and the things of God and the vision, the mission, the mandate that He's given us as a church. It will radically impact that if you have an eternal mindset and understanding. And I believe that's some of what God wants to do in these coming weeks. Give us His mind's eye, His understanding, His perspective on what it means to live eternally on earth now. It's easy to get caught up in the way the world lives and thinks and does stuff. And yes, we have to go shopping. Yes, we pay bills. Yes, we put food on the table. Yes, our kids go to school. Yes, we have to have jobs. You can either do that with a temporal mindset, or you can live with an eternal one, and your perspective on it all is completely different. Then the engine room of your life comes from what's happening spiritually, not what you're doing, and then the spiritual bit is added on somewhere. The engine room of our lives is from what God is doing in us and through us. Then what happens at work, how you go to work will be different. What happens in school and how you go there will be different. What happens in your home will be different because of what's happening in here. How you share your faith and witness to others will be different because of the eternal perspective that you have. Everything we do as a church to reach the community, to see society impacted, will be different when it comes from an eternal mindset. The way you wake up in the morning and greet the day and say, "Hello, day, I'm awake." If you have an eternal mindset and understanding, the way you wake up and start the day will be different than it is if you have a temporal one. The way you spend your money will be different if you've got an eternal one than a temporal one. The way you give your finances will be different when you have an eternal one than a temporal one. How you serve and love others will be different when you have an eternal one than a temporal one. Let's just pray. We are sort of praying, but let's just say to the Lord, "I wasn't expecting this morning, but thank you." Just open your arms wide like this, rather than just above your head. Open them wide. You might smack the person next to you. That's all right. It might wake them up. But just open your arms wide like that, as if you're a sail. As if you're opening your life wide, saying, "God, I'm here, I'm yours, I'm available." If that's what's in your heart, then just pray that out. If you're not there yet, then obviously say, "God, do something in me till that's where I am at." But open your arms wide, say, "God, I'm here, I'm yours, I'm available. You bought me with a price. Whatever you want to do in me and through me, I ask you to you would do it." Continue to stir up your spirit within me. Continue to stir up my spirit as I respond to you. But God, I ask you to breathe and blow afresh into the sails of my life, as it were, into who I am, that you would breathe afresh and do what you want to do in me. Father, I'm yours. I'm available. I'm yours. I'm available. Would you take a hold of what is yours afresh? And I don't want to put my arms down in as a prophetic. I want to keep my heart wide open. I want to keep my life wide open. I want to keep my spiritual ears fully open. I want my spiritual eyes to be fully open and alert and alive. I want my spirit man to be wide open, fully alive and alert to everything you're saying. The nudges of your spirit, the little whispers of your spirit, sensitive to your Holy Spirit. Ready to act, respond, to pray, to share, to give, to love, to serve, to whatever it is. Father, I can't do it on my own strength. That's why I'm just opening my heart, my life up afresh to you, because it has to be done by you in the power of your spirit. But Father, you just want my life to be open and ready and available. So it's here. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Just make a decision in your heart. Father, I choose to have my heart wide open to you. Some of you need to throw off disillusionment this morning. Some of you need to throw off disappointment this morning. Just throw it off right now. I haven't seen what I thought I was going to see. Just throw it off. I'm not letting disappointment determine my future. I'm not letting it determine today. So disappointment, I throw you off. Disillusionment, I throw it off right now. You're not going to affect today and my going forward. Things you prayed into, you haven't seen yet. Just say, disappointment, you're not going to overtake me, but everything God has said is mine, and I'm going to continue to press in and put pressure on the word in prayer and in what I believe to see those things fully happen. And I'm not going to stop until they have been accomplished and I'm seeing them with my own eyes. My children getting saved, or my parents getting saved, my family members getting saved or healed or whatever it is. People coming right with God. My best friends, people that I have such a love for. Everything that God has said will take place. I am not going to shrink back. I am not going to settle back. I'm not going to have no for an answer. Father, we praise your name. If you just get your finances ready, let's give to the Lord. Your tithes and your offerings. Just in this place where our lives are wide open. We're saying, God, my life's wide open. If you're tithing this morning, it's the first tenth. It's the first of your increase. The first of your income. Whatever you've been blessed with. It's the first tenth. It belongs to the Lord. As you return it to him and give it back, saying, God, this is yours. The first I want to do with my increase is give back to you what is yours. And that unlocks everything he wants to do with the rest of it. If you're giving an offering this morning over and above the tithe, then give that as an offering, with thanksgiving and praise, with a cheerful heart, saying, Father, I thank you as I give this and sow it into your kingdom. You're going to multiply it and use it to impact people's lives. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you. Just as Pastor Bucket's round and just as we're worshiping in this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just put your tithe in there, your offerings. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's somebody here and you're like, I haven't got a lot. I'm not sure what to put in there. And I don't want to, you know, if I put something in there, will I lose out? I believe God's saying to you, there's one person here. And God's saying to you, you have a poverty thinking about your life and about your finances, and you have an amount that you would like to give in, but in your head and heart, you're saying, I don't know if I'm going to be left short or whether I'll have lack then. And God's saying, I want to prove something to you. I want to prove my word to you. I believe God's saying, what is in your heart? Put it in the offering. And God's saying, you will not be left short, because I'm going to teach you how to trust me in a new way. I'm going to teach you how to walk in faith in this area of your life in a new way. You won't be left short. You'll actually find you're going to have more than you're going to need. And so you've already had something in your heart to do. Just do what is in your heart to do. That's what the Bible says. Give what is in your heart to give. Just do it. And God sees that. He's a good father. He won't let you be left without. That's for one individual there. And as you give this morning, it's like this poverty mindset and spirit is going to break over your life. It's going to be shattered over your life this morning. Something's going to get released instead, which is the spirit of faith, knowing that God's looking after you. Everything's sorted. You're going to be all right. And actually, what's in your heart is, God, I want to be a blessing to other people in a way that I don't think I'm able to, because I don't have as much as I think I need and everything. And but in your heart, it's like, God, I want to be a blessing to others. And God's saying, well, just start here. Start today. And you'll begin to see a new flow happening in your life, and some gifts and surprises and other things that are going to happen. And as you begin to give and sow out of that as well, you're going to see a new increase of flow coming through your life and through your hands. And you're going to realize, I'm a steward of this. This is brilliant. And you're actually going to find you're going to enjoy giving to others because of what it. You just find it, there's a joy in giving and blessing others. What happens in their lives as a result? But God is going to take joy in your giving and say, wow, look at the way she's, I think it's a lady anyway, look at the way she's giving to those people and doing out what she has to them. I'm going to make sure I'm giving into her so that she has more than she needs, because I love the heart and the way she's giving. And because that spirit of poverty is broken over her life, she can receive much more of an abundance from me now, and not just for herself, but then to channel it into others. I love that. I love that. You can hear the heart of the Father there. Why? Because I can trust her with it. I can trust you with it. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we praise your awesome name, your mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.